I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing Aquaman, King of Atlantis.
Which is three episodes, not strictly a film.
So this is the last time that this happens, thankfully. It's basically a mini-series or television show that is then released as a two-hour film.
Was it in the cinema?
Not in the cinema, but it was on DVD.
I feel like we're cheating. I'm not bitter about the fact this film TV miniseries broke my headset or anything. But
to be fair, I don't think it maliciously broke it.
It broke an hour and 40 minutes into it.
Okay.
Is all I'm saying. And there was nothing else happening. It just stopped working. So I'm recording from away from home, so I'm very cheerful about this. This is my first recording on the laptop.
So Aquaman King of Atlantis, it's not quite clear if this is meant to be following on from the film, or it doesn't do anything where it actively contradicts the film.
Which film?
The Jason Momoa film.
Oh, I didn't think it had any. Was it supposed to be connected to the film?
Well, look, James Wan was a producer on it.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. So in this version, Aquaman has green hair, for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, look, none of them look like any other Aquaman collection of people that we've seen before.
Yeah. So we open to Aquaman being introduced as the new king of Atlantis. He is not very popular.
No, I mean, unsurprisingly, he hasn't done much.
Yeah, and he's being outsmarted by a chair as well. Because this is for some reason, it's a gag through the whole film.
He can't sit in the chair. And it's not funny even once. I don't know if it's because he's supposed to have a fat butt. But
yeah,
it wasn't
they do.
Funny.
Yeah, that's one of the other gags is, oh, Aquaman, because he lives on land, he has a fat butt.
Yeah, he has glutes because he has stairs. Because swimming isn't good for your leg muscles at all.
It's not quite clear what's happening. So Ocean Master seems to be simultaneously unpopular because he was a really bad king, but popular because he was the king.
Yeah, I mean, look, this film does no favours for the citizens of Atlantis or wherever Aquaman rules. Under the sea.
So, Aquaman is challenged by Ocean Master. Aquaman then refuses the challenge, which means Ocean Master becomes king again, only for Aquaman to knock him out and gain the throne back, because judging it by a fight is a dumb way to decide a monarch.
Everything they do is a dumb way to decide on a monarch. So.
So, Volko has a list of administration tasks that have to be done in the kingdom.
Yes, and obviously there's a lot of them.
Yes, and one of them, which is probably the most interesting of the list, is, oh, we haven't heard from one of our outposts in 7 years.
Which seems like a lot.
Yes. So, Mira and Aquaman leave to investigate. Mira is driving a boat very recklessly.
She does everything recklessly. They made her pretty obnoxious.
Yes, the whole idea... Mira's whole character in this is, I like to hit things and go to the most...
I
want to
punch things. I'm annoying. They're all annoying, to be honest. Aquaman's himbo to the max. The animation's weird. It's all very off the wall.
Yeah, it's...
It's really hard to know who this is really aimed at.
I know, it's... Because it's that kind of thing of... It's... I would say children, but it's too violent.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's cartoon violence. It's like Tom and Jerry violence. But it's also like, if you enjoyed the film, would you enjoy this? Is it no?
No.
You know, if you didn't enjoy the film, this doesn't match up with any other Aquaman.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's not all, it's not, it's all right, but it's just pointless.
So, as the pair get closer to Outpost 4, suddenly the area they go, the ocean stops and there is just this circle of desert in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
The pair then go through where in this space they find an oasis where they're ambushed by bandits who they easily defeat. The raiders then say, we used to attack Outpost 4, but the water disappeared a week ago.
Yeah, they're pretty cheerful about attacking. I mean, they're raiders.
Yeah. So, as they go through the town or closer, they see a giant drill in the middle of the space, and they are met by Pieta Mortikoff.
Who's really annoying.
Who is the scavenger.
He's like totally... Is that a real character?
Yes, he first appeared in 1968 in Aquaman.
Well, it seems incredibly stereotyped and...
He was called Peter rather than... He wasn't Russian in that version, though.
Yeah, because he's randomly Russian and short and round and...
Yeah.
A bit like Uncle Fester.
Yeah. So, the pair of them are... Pieter is very friendly at first. He claims, it was like this when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
They then have a meal of fish, which Aquaman is very excited about because you can only boil fish, apparently.
He's devouring fish, despite his ability to speak to fish.
Which
is also a bit icky.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is just a bit weird, particularly because I think it's one of the other things. It puts me in every time there's a scene of them eating fish. It puts me in mind of I think it's The Boys, where someone who can talk to fish is forced to eat an octopus.
It's not
a nice scene.
I mean, he also like has sex with dolphins or whatever. So
yeah. But anyway, we get Piotr's backstory. He is a scrap dealer. He lived in a scrap heap all his life. He's the main villain of this story.
Yes, this little arc.
So, and the story in total as well.
Yes.
So, the pair, after dinner, the pair then start to explore the time. Mira takes water from Aquaman.
Yeah.
Which is not pleasant. They, as they're exploring, they end up bumping back into Pieter, who betrays them and throws them in a pit, because he's the bad guy! Who could have seen that coming?
I mean, this is really aimed young, so yeah. Pretty much everyone. Plus, they gave him a Russian accent in case you weren't, you know.
If you weren't sure, yes, he has a Russian accent. So the pits that they throw Aquaman and Mira into turns out to be Outpost 4. Who also say, all this started a week ago. But the bandits break it. So the bandits then break in. The townsfolk can't do anything because they can't breathe outside of water. Aquaman is trying to provide a diplomatic solution. He manages to convince the townfolk and the bandits to team up using water breathing masks. And they defeat Pieter fairly quickly at the start, though he keeps throwing robots at them. Later turns out, though, that at one point when Aquaman and Mira defeated a robot, they stuffed him into one of the vents, causing the drill to overheat.
As you do.
There's then a chase to the top of the drill where Aquaman finds a blue crystal.
Very important.
Taking a battery off, which causes the drill to collapse, also all the water to come back.
Which is good.
Everyone survived, everyone is saved, and Outpost 4 is better. Yay!
Yay!
Also, they mention, oh, we only talked to Atlantis a week ago.
Yes, so we're getting some definite time weirdness.
Yeah. So, we then, the end of the episode and the start of the next episode, Aquaman comes back to find out, oh, even though it was only a day for you, it was a year for the rest of them.
And guess what? He's been replaced as king.
By Ocean
they do that in like 5 seconds anyway, so.
Yes. Aquaman then immediately knocks down Ocean Master, hands the gem over to Volko, who says, okay, this could be causing the time issues. But Ocean Master then runs away and escapes with Aquaman's trident.
Yes. But hey, that's the end of that one.
Yeah, so that's first episode down. Second episode, Aquaman and Mira chase Ocean Master through Atlantis. They go through various food sections and they end up at a global vent system, which then causes them to journey through the surfaces of the Earth. Apparently,
it's very strange.
Yes, apparently in this universe, there is stuff underneath the magma. There's multiple layers.
Why not? Rocket science. It's like comic science.
Comic science. They then end up, just as they're about to catch Ocean Master, they actually tie Ocean Master to the trident.
Which is quite funny.
Only for the three of them to be attacked by a fisherman with loads of different gimmicked fishing equipment.
Yeah, it's a bit like Hawkeye with all his arrows.
Yeah. The fisherman then, who has a squid on his head for some reason.
Zero reason.
Then knocks out Aquaman and Mira. After talking to Submish to get information, they find that the fisherman is on an island which has been attacked by random weird sea creatures that are nasty and bad. They then cross path with the fisherman's wife and with their child, who is a wild feral boy for some reason.
For zero reason.
So that they can do some jokes, pretty much.
Pretty much. Most of this is just for the jokes.
So, the fisherman's wife tells them that the fisherman was investigating a strange light. As they go towards this light by boat, Aquaman and Mira are attacked by evil fish. They eventually encounter the fisherman at the island where the light's coming from. He says his name is Primordius.
Oh, yeah. That's
and right. Primordius is actually the island, which is sentient, and it's controlling the fisherman through the squid, which he put on his head for a joke. I should explain, because
it sounds like
we're really rattling through the plot. It's because most of the plot is
there just... There isn't really a plot for most of
zaniness
this.
And...
Yeah.
Wild... The animation style is really... Let's be nice and call it unique.
It's like, what's it called? Rooster... Whatever. Is that who does it? Rooster Teeth? It looks like this.
Might be, yes.
I think, is that what they're called? I don't know. It looks like that kind of style of animation, you know.
This was released as a feature-length film on Cartoon Network.
I don't know if we're counting, I guess we are counting it. Clearly we are.
So, Aquaman and Mira try to fight Primordius. he is able to very easily defeat them because he can see basically everything's happening in slow motion to him.
Which obviously makes fighting a lot easier.
So they then work out that, oh, the whole island is Primordius, so if we attack the island, he can't stop us. The three then jump into a red bubble that is covering the centre of the island. And now everyone is operating at slower time. And they can fight the fisherman, who's already nursing broken bones by this point.
Yeah.
Aquaman successfully gets his trident. And they go to the very centre of the island where they find a red crystal.
Dude.
Powered by toxic waste.
Of course.
So they remove the gem from the toxic waste, which then powers down the time bubble. Primordius is freaked out by the concept of normal time.
Which is funny.
So what it does mean is that the fisherman gains back some sentience, and that he is then able to welcome back his family. Meanwhile, Ocean Master had been kept in the bubble all this time, and he is now incredibly old.
Which is very funny.
Yes, it is hilarious, because isn't it funny how old people have bad backs?
I mean, as an old person, not really.
Yeah.
But given that this is probably being watched by people who have no real sense of what an old person is.
I think 30 is old.
Well, I mean, it's getting there. Uh-huh. It's when the back troubles start.
Well, hip troubles in my case, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, this episode ends with Ocean Master being put into sea jail. He is put in a cell with Piotr, and that is the end of the second portion. And this is the part where it goes, oh yes, no, this has an entire arc and it is one story. So we cut to, I don't know, a couple of weeks later. Aquaman has caught up on all Volko's list of tasks.
Yeah, I mean, he got through those pretty quickly in the end.
And despite this, the court still doesn't respect him, and they're still nostalgic for Ocean Master.
They don't seem like the kind of people I would want to be king of.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
So, Aquaman is understandably getting quite frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, he's really done a good job.
Oh, he's done...
I mean, he's still annoying, but he's done a good job.
He's less annoying than Ocean Master.
I mean, yes, but...
But then again, so is slamming your hand in the car door, so...
Right, and like, nobody's not annoying, is the thing.
Yeah.
Really. I guess the bandits are pretty cute.
And the bandits have been hired as guards now.
Yeah, they found their life back.
So... Aquaman and Mira visit Volko. He's found out that the two gems affect time and gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them speeds up time, one of them slows it down. And they both go into the armor of Kronos, which is from outer space.
Do, do, do.
And that this armor comes from a planet that blew up, possibly because of the armor.
Yeah, which is very funny.
So Volko says to them, right, you need to keep the two gems separate from each other, and also you need to keep these as far away as you can from this armor.
Yes.
So now
I did quite enjoy this last episode.
Yes.
I have to say, after like slamming the rest of it. It did kind of come together, but
uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, there is then a jailbreak from Sea Jail. Volko, Mira, and Aquaman are able to defeat various villains and take them back to sea jail, whilst an octopus is guarding the two gems in the armour.
But it's not just any octopus, right? It's what's Aquaman's octopus called? Toco?
Something like that, I don't know.
It starts with a T. The one that was banging the drums in the film. Yeah, Toppo. See?
Toppo.
I was close. For me, given that I don't make notes, that was pretty good memory.
Well, it's better than I didn't take a note of it, so. So, they then come back to the throne room, and Ocean Master is sitting on the chair again.
Yeah.
And he reveals that he's working with Piotr, and that Piotr is actually going for the armor and the crystal, and that he's just a distraction. It turns out that Piotr had had a missing page of lore that explained how the armor worked.
Yeah.
But when he gets there, Volker goes, "Ha-ha, but you can't fit in the armor because the aliens were only basically a head."
Yes.
Which Piotr goes, "Ha-ha, I am only a head."
Mm-hmm.
And he gets into the Kronos armor. He can't get the crystals to work at first, whilst Mira and Aquaman fight him. He does then manage to get the crystals to work, and he turns from Piotr Morkov into Scavenger, which is his name in the comic books. And Scavenger is able to very easily defeat the pair whilst he's smashing the city to pieces.
Yeah, and he's literally smashing it to pieces.
The Atlanteans and the bandits then try to help, but can't really. I mean, the bandits, I'll be honest, they're trying to steal the crystals, not safe.
Yeah.
Mira then uses all of the ocean to try and blast Scavenger into the moon.
Which is very funny.
Yes.
That's genuinely, that's what I mean, is like, the jokes are actually like funnier in this one.
Unfortunately, by doing that, what she's actually doing is starting to cause the Earth's crust split.
Yeah, I mean, okay, it's not hugely successful, mm-hmm. but quite funny.
And it's improvising as well.
Yeah.
So when that doesn't work, Scavenger then starts to actively try to split the Earth in two. Aquaman is then instead of trying to fight him, is actually actively trying to hold the Earth together.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite funny. Like, I don't know if he's known for being particularly strong. I didn't think so.
I think it depends on the. It very if much depends on the be. Version of Aquaman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they kind of basically say, some versions of the story, Aquaman is actively as powerful as Superman, pretty much when he's in water.
I mean, that seems crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that seems crazy.
So, but what he is able to summon all of the world's fish.
Which is great.
To swim in and try and help him hold the Earth together. Meanwhile, Scavenger grabs Aquaman's trident, is about to stab him when the citizens of Atlantis finally support their king. Even Ocean Master.
Yeah, he's well into it.
So they are then able to successfully save Aquaman, who then jumps onto Scavenger's armor and pushes the crystals together. This then forces the Earth back together, trapping Scavenger inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, happy ending! And one of the other things that happens is the throne is damaged. meaning that Aquaman can now sit in it. Hooray.
Which is hooray.
So, yeah, that is the end, and Aquaman is victorious.
Yeah. I mean, like, I did like the third one a lot more because it brought it all together, but it very much felt like episodes. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it is very episodic, which I suppose by the very nature of being episodes lumped together into one story. On the plus side, that's the last time that happens that we currently have scheduled.
Well, that's good. I mean, like, because it's a bit weird to include them, but hey.
They were released as films.
Yeah, on some streaming service. But yeah, that's fair enough. Like, I watched them. I'm talking about them. So, what's next in our life?
So our next film coming up is Injustice.
Ah.
Yay.
Can't wait. Yeah. What a good run we're having right now.
After that, the next film we've got coming up is Catwoman Hunted, which actually does seem to have good reviews, to be fair. Not that that means anything.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, actually. I didn't even know it existed, so it could be interesting.
So that is episodes 98 and 99. Episode 100 is good. Because it's DC League of Super Pets, which we know is at least better than what else we've been watching.
I mean, like, we are in the run-up to Christmas now, so Lord knows how the recording will be for all of this, but...
Yeah. So, just to go for the final two to get to five, the next one is a crossover film between Teen Titans Go and DC Superhero Girls.
God.
Which,
I mean, that's all right. Whatever.
I mean, it's probably
I enjoy them more now. Now I know what I'm getting with them. So
it's probably aimed at about the same audience as this film was, but okay.
I feel like we know more about, like, we've watched more of it. So
yeah, and it's yeah, and then we have a Green Lantern film, which is
Green Lantern
Beware My Power. Which I believe is an interpretation of the parallax storyline, the famous involving Guy Gardner.
It's like Flashpoint, we only ever get parallax.
Which, I mean, to be fair, it's the first Green Lantern movie we've had in a while.
No, I know.
I mean, it could be worse. We've seen 3 different tellings of Doomsday?
Yeah.
But that's the next 5 films that are coming up. Are you going to be in any other podcasts in the near future?
Probably not.
Okay.
It's just difficult. Probably by the time this is released, maybe another Moon Knight.
It's 2 weeks, so...
Yeah, there'll be an Iron Fist one out with me in, but I recorded it a couple of weeks ago. It just hasn't gone up yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we did a Heroes for Hire issue. But no, there's just things are on a bit of hold, and the next Moon Knight one won't be till the end of November for me, probably.
Right.
So.
Meanwhile, I'm still only on the Rise of the Robots podcast, which when this comes out, we will be still covering Robot Wars Extreme Warriors. The American take on Robot Wars filmed in the UK. But on the plus side, the episodes that we've got coming up, one of them is a guest that we had on the podcast and is a cool guy, so we like him.
Oh, that's nice. The most recent episode, or maybe not, maybe the previous episode of Taskmaster had a quest called Robot Wars.
Hooray.
So I thought of you.
Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Injustice.
Yeah, should be fun.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.